So the excitement of thinking about the implications of 3D printing in medicine and small-scale desktop manufacturing applications may be seriously dampened by all that's going on in Washington, D.C. this week. We've spoken about the draconian sequester cuts hitting the Pentagon, hitting food inspection of the national food supply. Today, a look at the impact on scientific and medical research from what is now envisioned for later this week in Washington, D.C. Joining us is Lori Leshin, Dean of the School of Science at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute right here in New York State. Lori, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Are you already making contingency plans for shutting down research projects and sort of teaching operations there at RPI?
Well, we're definitely trying to plan the best we can for the sequester. You know, it could reduce federal R&D expenditures by $58 billion in the next 5 years. The thing that's so disturbing about the way the sequester works is that it literally impacts absolutely everything. It's indiscriminate chopping across the board. So it will literally impact everything from disease and disease mitigation to weather satellites to groundbreaking research into, you know, understanding the massive amounts of data we're hit with every day to understanding the vast universe we live in.
Give me an example of how when cuts come in and you have to stop some research, you can't simply start it back up like turning on a blender again.
That's absolutely right. We are in a race for leadership here, and you don't just stop running and then start again. So we would have to look at reducing the number of students that we admit and the number of postdoctoral scholars that we hire. At RPI alone, we'd be looking at probably 300 fewer PhDs trained in the next decade.
And extrapolate that nationally. What do you think the scale is of postdocs and just the employment for the kinds of research that's necessary to maintain leadership in medicine and science?
Absolutely. We'd be looking at literally thousands and thousands of students and scholars affected. And again, these people are not just jobs. It's really fuel for the innovation engine of our economy linked directly to our future prosperity. So I think it's very short-sighted to be thinking about these cuts.
And of course, RPI is one of the very competitive institutions in the United States, MIT, another, Caltech. The students that you have, the postdocs that you have, do have other options, and they're around the world. I'm wondering if you can think of a couple of postdocs who could easily just hop on a plane and do the same kind of work in China or in Europe post-sequester.
You are absolutely correct. Other nations are increasing their investments in basic research at the same time we're talking about slashing them. You know, NASA would be back to 1988 levels of funding under this sequester. So absolutely, our students, our postdocs, even some of our faculty are probably going to end up having opportunities overseas. And that's just the wrong way for our brain power to be flowing.
And you're a NASA scientist. What do you think the impact is on NASA and the kinds of projects that you know, would have been interrupted if something like this had happened, say, in the middle of the Mars rover project?
Well, in fact, we are in the middle of executing the Mars rover project, right? We're on Mars. We've just been there for 6 months, and we're in the middle of making great discoveries. And there is a worry about it affecting members of our team, including those of us at universities who will likely end up taking the larger brunt of the cuts, because often, you know, the government labs are more protected in these scenarios. So universities with their grants end up taking greater cuts.
On Tuesday, operating the joystick on the Mars rover. On Friday, working at Starbucks.
Let's hope not.
Lori Leshin is Dean of the School of Science at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. She spoke to us from her home in Troy, New York. Lori, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Let's bring in Dr. Larry Corey, who's president of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle. Doctor, welcome.
Happy to be here.
What challenges and deadlines are you looking at, you know, very, very practically in terms of getting through the next couple of weeks?
Well, there's a huge concern. I mean, what has happened certainly in cancer research is over the last 10, 15 years, there's been an enormous investment in understanding cancer and the genetics of cancer, of using, of reclassifying cancer according to the genetic mutations that occurs and tailoring therapy. We've put together these research teams over a 10-year period of time that are ready to take these data and actually put them into translating them into patient care, and then all of a sudden you're asked to almost dismantle these research teams. The grants that are in the queue to actually translate these into humans is really are being put on delayed. Patients are ready to be treated with new forms of therapy, and these things are not going to be happening. And so there's both great frustration and great concern.
You know, I don't want to get maudlin here, but is there a particular patient case that you can think of where at a certain point someone's going to have to be told, you know, we got to wait here because we can't move forward the way things are in Washington?
Well, we have four protocols using what we call immunotherapy, which is arming T cells to cure cancer, and they're all being funded by grants from the National Cancer Institute, and we are being told that the grants which were funded are, you know, may be put on hold, and so people who we have in the queue to do this will be put on hold, and you know, cancer cells grow, and they don't know from sequestration.
And what about holding the teams together, putting the whole thing in the deep freeze for a couple of weeks?
Well, we as an institution will do everything we can for a couple of weeks. It is really the issue of, is this going to be a couple months or 3 months or 4 months or 5 months? And I think, as your previous interviewer said, science doesn't stand still. Cancer cells don't stand still. People who have dedicated their lives to seeing this, they will seek other options. And in many respects, it's the younger people in science, it's the generation of science, young science, that we're really concerned about, especially if this goes for an extended period of time, that they will just look at this as a career track, a very competitive career track, and if there is not a stable form of funding, they'll go elsewhere.
Dr. Larry Corey is president of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.